power that's able to build up our faith. So, and this is the moment that God has blessed us to be together, to really search the scriptures and allow the Holy Spirit of the Lord to speak to our hearts. Amen. And so if you have your Bibles with you, let's honor the Lord first. If you're able to rise up to honor Him, turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start with verse 1 all the way up to verse 20. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. So we are at Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start with verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart. Ephesians chapter 6, we're already at verse 5, okay. Ephesians 6, 5. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he's slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. Where? In the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth, buckled around your waist with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for whom? For all the saints. We need to pray for one another. Look at verse 19. You know, the Apostle Paul wasn't ashamed to ask for prayer. We have to pray for our spiritual leaders. I'm saying this not because in my position, no. Because we all belong in the body of Christ and we need one another. Amen. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will what? Fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Lord, we thank you, God, for your words for all of us. Your word that is able to build us up, encourage us, warn us, admonish us, correct us when we are wrong. And it all is the work of your Holy Spirit in all of our hearts. We thank you for your grace upon all of us, oh God, that Lord, when we hear your word, you're going to help us. Lord, live by the truths and principles that come from your word. And so, Father God, we thank you that, Lord, as we realize that we live in a times that we need your strength, your supernatural grace upon our lives, that we may all remain steadfast and loyal to you, Lord Jesus, till the end. In his powerful name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank God for the opportunity for us to come together this Sunday. Amen. You know, just recently, as a nation, again, America's grieving over the loss of many lives in a senseless school shooting that happened in Florida. And, you know, many reactions were, not again. And our prayer is more so for God's people that when, you know, we turn on the TV or, you know, we look into the app on our phones and get the breaking news of what's happening around us, that when we hear things like that, that we won't grow numb. Because some people can say, you know, it becomes like so common that it can kind of numb the hearts of many. But let it not be for the people of God. Let it not be for God's people. That when we hear those things, so we ask ourselves, how should we react when in these times of facing such evil? Anong dapat nating maging reaction? What should we do? What can we do? We ask ourselves, what can we do to help protect our children? What can we do to help people heal? You know, some of us probably have experienced, you know, the pain of losing a loved one, but in such a tragic event like that, you know, it's so sudden. There are so many humbling truths that confront us when times like that happen. Number one is life is frail. Life is frail. No one is guaranteed about their tomorrows, but the good news is that we have a God who can, you know, even when those tragic events come, that there's hope, because the Word of God reminds us, number one, of two things. The existence of an enemy of our soul, and his name is Satan. And the Bible tells us in John 10, we always hear it, we quote it, that we have an enemy. Hindi ho ang kaaway natin. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We just read it. It's not people. There's a spirit behind why people choose to kill. Because the Bible says Satan came to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy lives. That's his intent. And he is relentless with that goal. He is relentless. But praise the Lord that Jesus came to give us life. Jesus came. And so what we're saying here is one part of the scenario is we have an enemy. We are faced with an enemy that we cannot fight on our own. But praise the Lord, when you and I have Christ, he helps us overcome the powers of darkness. Amen. So that's number one, the awareness of an existence of an enemy. And we should take the threat of spiritual attacks every day seriously. Can I say that again? We should take it seriously. We have young couples here. You have children who go to school. There's a principle from the Bible that says, as Christian parents, pray for your children. Lay hands on them. Even if they're just babies, lay hands on them. What you have is so powerful that it can affect a legacy. We're talking about, you know, we were singing about that earlier. How when we were singing that God is good and that in his faithfulness, his faithfulness transcends beyond your life as a parent, and it can even bless your children and even your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. You know, in my position, it's such a blessing to meet a lot of people that speaks about that truth in the lives of so many. I have met people that it started with their grandparents. Grandparents, they would have stories about how their grandparents would wake them up on a Sunday morning. Come on, wake up, wake up. And to raise that awareness of Sunday is for the Lord, to honor Sabbath. I was reading an article wherein here in America there was a time wherein I think it was in the late 1950s to early 1960s wherein Sundays you wouldn't see a store open. the times we're living in, what is that now? There's a shift in our culture. There's some changes that's happening in our culture. But see, the Bible tells us that as Christians, we should not allow our minds to be affected by what's going on in the world. But it would take the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives to resist the culture. It's not, others would say, join the bandwagon. Everyone else is doing it anyway. But you know what? We have to realize that there is someone who can help us with all of these changes that's happening in our culture, that we will remain steadfast and loyal to God. The day is coming. You know, when you and I would talk about the coming of our Lord Jesus, as a Christian, when you and I would read the Word of God, and it would tell us, you know how the Bible says, can we go to Psalm 19, just as to make a reference for what we're mentioning here. Psalm 19, why is the Word of God important to all of us? Let's look at Psalm 19, and we're going to start with verse 7, all the way up to verse 11. Psalm 19, let me know if you're there, Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect. So the Word of God is perfect. It's able to revive the soul. Why? Because there would be times wherein our hearts can faint, right? We all go through many things in our lives that can faint our hearts. But it's able to revive our souls. Look at this. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. You and I can trust the Word of God. When God says something, you and I can... I don't want to say the word. Some people would say, I can bet on it. No, we're not here to make bets. We are here to be reminded that the Word of God is trustworthy. When God says something, He will do it. When God promises something, He will do it for sure. But it takes faith for us to really wait for the fulfillment of those promises. But you and I are living in a times wherein there are so many prophecies being fulfilled right before our eyes when it talks about the coming, the second coming of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So the words of the Lord, they're trustworthy. Making wise the simple. Do we need wisdom today? Yes, we do. They all come from the Word of God. Amen. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. You know, a lot of people are depressed. There's this spirit of heaviness coming down upon the lives of many, even among the lives of Christians, and that's sad. And you know why? Because it's Satan who's doing that. Satan would, Brother Toto, when he ministered that song, we are no longer slaves to fear. There's so many things that, because the mind is a battleground, this is where the thinking process, that's where he would attack us. Because he wouldn't want us to do something that we did not process ourselves. Let me give you an example. If the episode that I went through, I'm sharing this, and my intention is not to make light of what you're going through. I'm sharing this because I know what it means to be fearful of certain things. I was, at one point, fearful of what lies ahead for my future when I got disabled for over a year. When the disability benefits were exhausted and it's like, where do I turn to provide for my needs and the needs of my family? How do I pay the mortgage loan? And when I even got the letter from my mortgage lender, blah, 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 some of you know that. Fear can creep when you read that kind of letter and you're not receiving anything much for me to pay my mortgage bill and other expenses. And so fear can, you know, it's in the natural, right? Yeah. How do I pay my bills? And so when fear starts to creep in, it's up to you and me whether we would allow that to swallow us up whole. The enemy would want us to swallow up us whole, that we will be in that depressed mode and give up. That's his goal, for us to give up on our faith. And you know what? He's doing that every day, pounding on us, pounding, pounding. He would make us look at the negative things. Oh, where's God in all of this? Where's God? Can I tell you now? God is alive. Amen. In the midst of that, I chose. Can I say this? It's not because of me, but it's the power of God. When I share testimonies like that, I'm telling you that you and I, in the natural, we have a tendency to allow those things to wear us down. It can wear us down. It can make us kind of, you know, just fold up and just quit and give up. But in the mercy of God, in the mercy of God, you know what? The Spirit of God led me to seek Him in prayer. That's why prayer is so important. When those moments come in your life, and when, God, I need your help. God, you know, I'm drowning in all of my fears and problems, God. And then you know what? He shows up. He shows up. In a very simple, in the simplicity of prayer, God, I need you, Jesus, I need you, Holy Spirit. And I chose to, you know, I told you that one moment, at that mode, I didn't even want to leave the house, but I just had to drop a mail, and so I had to drop an important mail at the post office in the mailbox, and right after that, I was led to just park my car right there by Civic Center at City Hall. I sought the Lord. It didn't even take me a full hour. And that's the grace of God. And many times it's like He didn't even have me like look for so many pages in the Bible, but He led me to the right verse. And you know, God speaks. He's alive. Amen. And the Spirit of God would cause you to land at that verse that is so timely and needed. And He gave me a verse. He gave me a verse and He said, commit your ways to the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. At first, it's like, Lord, come on, be more specific than that, Lord. I need plan A, plan B, plan C, D, God. But the Lord caused me to understand. See, the spirit of wisdom and revelation comes from the Spirit of God. Amen. When you have Christ, you are led by the Spirit of God. Yes. When we say, I'm a child of God, and the Bible says when you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God, you are led by His Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God will give us wisdom. Wisdom is what? Practical things. Not just heavenly. It's like, parang nasa alapaap lang. No. He would make you do things even in the practical that you would see the hand of God. Amen. So when I said, Lord, what do you mean by that? And the Spirit of God just led me step by step. By step. When He says your thoughts shall be established, He will give to you, do this, step one. When He says establish meaning secured. Hindi yung patawing-tawing in Tagalog. It's like, will I do this? Will I do that? No. I saw it. It's like, boom, boom, boom. I took step one, step two, step three, and praise the Lord. The Lord delivered me and rescued me from all of my troubles and from all of my fears. In all of that, it built up my faith to know that my God, the God that I serve, is faithful. Hallelujah. And God hears and answers prayers. Where are you now in your prayer life? You need some revolution? What do you mean by revolution? Hindi po gera. We need to, Holy Spirit, we need... You need to revive me, Lord, in my prayer, God. God knows where we're at. God knows. We need not, you know, pretend. The Lord is looking for sincerity in our hearts. We cannot hide anything from the Lord. Might as well come to Him with an honest and open heart. Lord, I'm down, God. Lord, you know I'm going through discouragement. Lord, you know all the details of what's going on. So, Lord, revive me with your Spirit. Amen. And He will show up. Let's continue. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey and honey from the comb. Look at verse 11. By them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. For some of you who don't know what happened after my over 1 year long-term disability, the Lord moved. The Lord touched the heart of the owners, the president of the company, gave me favor, sent me checks. Can I tell you, not just one check, many checks. Wow. They paid for my insurance. They paid They gave me extra money to cover while I'm waiting for my recovery. They waited. When I got that mortgage letter, I had to be, you know, the Lord, I have to be employed for my, for the mortgage loan to be refinanced, because I tried it when I was, even before my disability, I tried it, but because of the market then, I was always disapproved. So during that time, it's like, Lord, why? But I was scratching my head. Lord, why did you allow this? And at times, you and I would ask the Lord, God, why? Why did you allow this? And so in my mind, I would have thoughts about, oh, probably, so I had plans. Lord, would you be glorified if I do this? I'm asking those things with God. So at times, it's the most logical thing to do, but we ask God, Lord, is this what you want? It turned out the Lord didn't want me for permanent disability because God wanted me to be back on work, back to work. And so the mortgage loan was refinanced. My goodness. And so now what I pay now is much lesser than what I used to pay before. And not only that, because of when I went to the office, they allowed me now to work lesser than my usual. I used to work from 10 to 12 hours a day. Now I could just work 6 to 8 hours. Who can do that? Only God. When you and I are faced with impossibilities, remember that with God, no such thing as impossible. Give it to me. The Lord is, give it to me. Amen. Give it to me. Commit it to God. Commit it to God. When the enemy would want us to just focus on, oh, it's hard. It's hard. No. Lord, I thank you that with you, nothing is too difficult. Amen. And I thank you that you are my God. Amen. One of the verses that I would always go, you know why you and I are encouraged to memorize verses in the scriptures? Because there's power in the word of God. It's a sword of the spirit. When the enemy would want to attack us, then use the word. If we don't know the word of God, it's like, you know, the word of God is like a sword, no? And you know the case, how do you call that case where the sword is? The sable, but out. So your sable is empty. The enemy is coming. Oh, where's your sword? See, we don't want to be like casualties in the spiritual battle. The Lord is raising up men and women who know their God, who knows the word of God, and knows that not relying on what's happening in the natural. See, the moment you and I focus on the natural, boom, it's tough. It's tougher. But when you and I, that's why the Bible tells we need to be our minds focus on Christ, always eternally minded. In decision making, it's like, Lord, if I do this, will this draw me closer to you? Lord, if I do this, am I doing your will? Everything, in every aspect and area of our lives. Hallelujah. And because he's the shepherd of our soul, you know what? He will guide us. Amen. That's a beauty about having Christ. As a sheep, we know his voice. The ability to hear the voice of God. We were just having a conversation last Wednesday during Bible study. And, you know, when you turn on your TVs for certain shows, someone made a comment as far as, we know that Vice President Mike Pence, he's a believer. He believes in our Lord Jesus. And someone made a comment that they were laughing at him because of his faith. Because, oh, he hears the voice of, he says that he hears the voice of Jesus. See, for some people who don't have that kind of relationship with the Lord, it's weird. For them, it's, what? You heard the voice of God? And so, for us, when we say that, we're also weird. Because we have to remember that what you and I have been called to do is against, always against the ways of this world. Because who is the god of this world? Small letter G. Satan is. Everything that's happening, whether in economy, the Hollywood industry, music industry, he's in control of those things. But as a Christian, we're not going to allow his ways to affect our ways of thinking. Amen. How do we know the will of God? We need to have our minds renewed with the word of God. Always know what the word of God says. Amen. Praise God. If I'm to do this, is this righteous? Is this moral? Where is your moral compass now? Where is your moral compass? Is it based on what people would say or based on what God says? Hallelujah. You know, when you would read the Bible, and there are stories about people who are being persecuted, who were persecuted at that time, and there are so many Christians being persecuted also now. You know, it might be a different setup here in America, but in many parts of the world, in the Middle East, not everyone can have this kind of freedom to come together. Not everyone has that kind of freedom to talk about Jesus. And yet, the more that they are persecuted, the more that they are passionate to do the will of God. At times we ask ourselves, what would it take for the Christians here in America to be passionate for the Lord? Someone made a comment that in a lot of American churches, it's about consumerism. What do we mean by that? They apply that principle that when they go to a store or they go to a buffet, you know, go to eat all you can. What's good? You see all the display of, oh, good food. Oh, I like, oh, I don't like that. Oh, this I like. At times, that's the approach of a lot of Christians in many churches. They come to church and, I want to hear. Their ears itch only for what they would want to hear rather than what is God telling me right now. And so we had that lesson just previous weeks. And so why are we going back to this? Look at this. Let's continue. Verse 10, they are more precious than gold. What is they? The word of God. More precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. You know why honey? Why the word of God is likened to honey? Honey has healing properties. If you are brokenhearted, go to the word of God. It can heal us. It can comfort us. Amen. Sweeter than honey from the comb, honeycomb. Look at verse 11. I'd like to highlight on this. Verse 11. By them, what is them? God's word. By them is your servant. Let's repeat that. By the word of God, his servant is warned. Warning. It can be a warning to us. If you are driving and you see signs along the way, it says, do not enter. And we hear stories wherein some people driving under the influence, they go always the wrong way. Oh my goodness. Why? Because they are so drunk that they are not able to make sound decisions, even while driving, that they don't know the wrong way and the right way. We use that as an example because the spirit of the world has caused a lot of people to be kind sort of drunk. It's all about sensual pleasures and what would just feed this flesh, what is nice to the flesh, to this body, and yet lose sight of the greater things that God has prepared for us. God wants us to be spiritually alert. Do you know that you and I have spiritual senses? We do. We have spiritual senses. We have spiritual vision. That's why ears... notice that among parents here, your children, you know, kids are so good in selective hearing. Children are so good with that. It's like they're there, but when you say something, oh, can you do this? And it's like Haley, even as young as she is, when she's so focused with her tablet, with her games, it's like her mom would say something, oh, my goodness, and one peach. Next level of Haley. Oh no, my goodness. Why? Because so focused on certain things. There's so many things around us that can cause us to be kind of hazing effect that we can't at times hear the voice of God. But let's pray that, Lord, develop my hearing again, that at a mere still small voice, God, I would hear your voice and I would respond. Amen. And talk about, it says, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, in keeping the word of God, there is great reward. Amen. Warning, what are we to be warned about? There are certain things that we should not be looking at. There are certain things that we should not be thinking about. There are certain things that we should not play with. What do we mean by play with? The enemy can use the things that you and I could, the things that we see. You know, the gateway? What is our gateway here? The eyes, the ears. What you and I watch, and what you and I listen to. Parents, children, they're into music. They love music because music, there's something about music that, you know, there's certain beats that children like. But can I just say this? Know what your children are listening to. And with their tablets, if you can secure, find out from a filter that you can, like, set up in their tablets that things won't just pop up. That's why in our parenting class we would tell about this, and because a lot of parents are not computer savvy. How many of you would admit to that? No. We don't know the ins and outs at times. But children, because this is the generation that they're living in, when once they step into school, they're taught to do their homework with their computers. So this is their generation. And so you look at them, and with one fingertip that they, my mom, my sister got her a phone, a cell phone, because she's not used to. How do I use this? And my Angela was teaching her, Grandma, scroll. What do you mean scroll? It's like you have to teach her the words, the verbiage as far as the definition, scroll and tap this and tap that. Oh, my gosh. And so, parents, you need to be watchful and alert. Don't let them just allow them to just listen to what they want, because the enemy is using even the music and then the videos. Even with the video games, and it's like, oh, it's harmless. It's just cartoons. No. But when you see characters hitting each other and killing each other, oh, no. That's because their minds are just like sponges. Let's say you're watching, and the kids are around you, and you watch a movie, and there's all that cursing. Change the channel. Or even, you know what? If those HBO shows, movies, give up those HBO things. No, if it's going to harm the minds of your children, you have to give up certain things. Amen. We have to be watchful. Glory to God. And so here we are warned. Our prayer is that every time you and I would talk about whether it's the second coming of the Lord or in whatever aspect of what the Bible is teaching us. Can I say this, please? See, there are two words that will come to mind every time as students of the Word, we read the Word of God and study it together. Two words. Impact and influence. Can I say this again? The Word of God should impact our lives. It should influence how we live. And when you and I now have Christ, wherever we go, we can also have an impact and influence the lives of others. We're going to really focus on, in these times that we're living in, what can we do? What can we do? Now let's turn to 2 Thessalonians, please. 2 Thessalonians. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of our Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go first to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians. It's near 2 Thessalonians. It's right after Colossians. 1 Thessalonians. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by what? By faith. Because faith without works is dead. Your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. See what the gospel can do in the life of someone? Look at this. For we know brothers loved by God. Isn't that wonderful? How are we described? Loved by God. You're loved by God. TJ, you're loved by God. Praise the Lord. All of us are loved by God, irrespective of our age. Praise the Lord. Brother Ben, you're loved by God. Mommy Deli, you're loved by God. Sister Guy, you're loved by all of us. All of us are loved by, when you have Christ, when you have Christ. That He has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became, look at this, you became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Just with those verses alone, we know that there's power in the gospel of Christ. That's why, you know, we are products of the power of the gospel, no? Do you believe that? Yes. And it tells us here in this verse that when as Christians, look at them. It tells us how the people in Thessalonica, they became imitators of whom? Of the lives of the Apostle Paul and Titus and Silas. And they said became imitators of us. So what they saw in the lives of Paul and the rest of the brethren, you know, the people in Thessalonica, they imitated it. And so what you and I do with our lives, do you know that it can have an impact in the lives of others? Wonderful. Hallelujah. And so the power of the gospel, it has the power to change lives through the power of His Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Spirit of God. And so, you know, to be reminded, so in these times that we're living in, how should we react with those type of news that happened like in Florida? It should provoke us to pray more. Pray for our children, pray for schools, pray for godly mentors for our children. When they leave for school, Lord, guard and protect them. Send your angels to take charge over our children. Lord, we pray for the parents that they be found. Look at what we read in Ephesians, even addressed to the fathers. You have a role. You have a role in the lives of your children. You have been called to be the spiritual leaders in the house. We have to pray for so many more men to come to know Christ in their lives. So probably some of them, they say that they believe in Jesus, but true faith, true saving faith is seen in how you and I conduct our lives. Amen. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit in all of us. Let us continue to focus on our Lord Jesus. Before we end, you know, it talks about how our faith will not just affect how we live, but even our goals in life. What is it that we would want our goals every day when you and I wake up? We thank God for His faithfulness, for some of us that work, for some of us, for some who are at home, whether you're retired, there are things to be done in the work of God. There's so much to be done. And we are so blessed to have opportunities we're in, like what our sister Sally shared earlier, in our giving, that you and I can have an impact in the lives of many. When I would be contacting Pastor Romel, whether through email or video, he has been giving us an update of what's happening there in Montalban, Rizal. We're excited for this. We're excited for this. There were so many in that video and so many children. You know, when you and I come to pray, at times we don't yet see the impact of what our prayers do. And so when I saw so many children in that place wherein Sister Lena and the rest were sharing the gospel to these children, Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, God, that the gospel of our Lord Jesus is being shared and ministered. And I saw a picture of one young boy with his hands clasped like this, praying. Wow, one life change. One life change can have an impact. And you know what? It makes it worthwhile. It makes it worthwhile. And so that's why, can I just encourage you? Stay strong in the Lord. Stay strong in the Lord. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. There's so many things that can come to us. At times, you know, When I met, you know, management in my workplace, when I told them, I told them the real score. And I said, you know, at times when it rains, it pours. Minsan, Tagalog, dagsa, sabay-sabay. And it's like it overwhelms you. But praise God that there's a God who's still in the boat. Jesus is still on the boat. When you feel like your boat is sinking, remember that Jesus is with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we cry out to God. And you know what happened to Peter? What happened to Peter? At that moment, and there was another occasion wherein, you know, the boat was sinking. And you know what? And even they approached Jesus. Jesus at one time, he was asleep in the boat. He was sleeping in the boat. And you know how the approach of the disciples were? Jesus, don't you even care? Look at you, you're sleeping. And we're sinking. We're dying. At times we question God that way. When you and I look at that simple story, at times that's our reaction too. Lord, don't you even care what I'm going through right now? He does. He does care. And that's where faith is required of us. Even when we feel like we're sinking, we have to remember that Jesus is still on the boat and he is still in control and he's able to calm the storms in your life. Whether that storm was caused by Satan, whether that storm was, it can be an SIT. What is an SIT? Self-inflicted trial. Meaning to say, it's the consequences of our choices. But we have to go through the consequences at times, no? It can be the dealings from God that can, when God allows it, it's a dealing from God, and he would want us to learn lessons of faith. But in the process, he's still with us. Remember that. The God who promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us, he is true to his word. And so in this spiritual battle that you and I are engaged in, we know, we praise God that Satan does not have the last word. We thank God for the book of Revelation that tells us that, oh, hallelujah, that we are victors. We have the victory in Christ. Amen. Let's rise up to our feet. Hallelujah. Let's all rise up. Praise God. Glory to God. We're going to pray, and later on, we're going to take a second offering for the Montalban outreach. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord. Let's thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In your own words, begin to thank the Lord. If you are now experiencing the gift of his salvation, thank God for the salvation. Thank God for people that he used to pray for you, that he used to encourage you in your walk with God. Hallelujah. There's so many things to thank the Lord for. And the promises, many promises that he is to fulfill. Heavenly Father, we come to you, O God, thanking you. Like the Apostle Paul, he always thanked you, Father God, and so you're developing that in all of us. That in all things we are to give thanks, O God. That, Lord, at times we may never understand at times why sufferings and troubles and pain come in our lives, God. But, Lord, you are still in control, for we know that you can turn this around for good, Lord God, that would bring about eternal benefits for us. We thank you that, God, you are the eternal God, and every time you move in our lives, it always has eternal purpose and benefits, O God. Help us, Lord God, this afternoon that you've given us. We thank you for the power of your word that's able to renew our minds. Your word that is able to build us up, to build up our faith. Because, Lord, when the enemy starts to throw his fiery darts, you're causing us to pick up our shield of faith. And, Lord, we thank you that that's what your word does in all of us. It's able to build up our faith. And so, Lord, we ask, Father God, that, Lord, you protect us from the evil one. You protect our minds from his lies, deceiving tactics and schemes, God. We ask, Father God, that, Lord, help us to be serious students of the Word of God, not just when we're together, but even, Lord, oh God, help us to manage our time wisely, that we can all find the time, all of us, including myself, God, when times can be so busy, oh God. Teach us, give us discernment, give us wisdom to set our priorities right. Lord, we pray for our children, God. Hear our prayers for our children, God. We ask, Lord God, for your protection, Lord God. Protect our children, oh God, our young people, oh God. Protect their minds, Lord God, from the evil one. Lord, cause them, oh God, to be, Lord, really true born-again Christians, oh God, that they would have the word of God in their minds and in their hearts, that every time, whether they're in school or in the company of those who are not Christians, oh God, that what they hear that is not in line with your word, what they see not in line with your word will not affect their thinking process, their thoughts. Lord, we pray for all the parents, oh God, that, Lord, you grant them wisdom, oh God. Strengthen them when they are discouraged, Lord God, in their roles as parents, oh God. Lord, lift them up, oh God. Encourage them, Lord God. Revive their hearts, Lord God. Cause them to see that, Lord, your word is powerful that needs to be passed on to these children, oh God. Protect our families, Lord God. This is our prayer. Build up strong families in this church, Lord. We ask, Father God, let there be unity, Lord God, and let there be peace within the walls of every home, oh God. Where there are broken relationships, we ask, oh God, Lord, we pray, help us to reconcile our relationships with those, Lord God, whom we are not talking with, oh God, or we have disconnected communications with. Bring healing to families. Bring healing to the body of Christ, we pray, oh God, in Jesus' name. For we know that there's power in unity, oh God, and help us not to allow the spirit of division and strife to creep into our lives, oh God. Help us to preserve unity, oh God, more so in the body of Christ. This is our prayer, oh God. Help us to be careful with our words, Lord God, but instead, use our lips not to put down anyone. But Lord, use our lips, oh God, to declare the gospel to someone who needs Christ. Use our lips to pray. Use our lips, oh God, to praise you, oh God. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us as a church. We consider this as a blessed privilege for us to connect with the ministry in Montalban, Lord God, with the church there headed by Pastor Romel. We thank you for the many lives of many children, parents that were there present, oh God, when the word of God was ministered. We thank you that, Lord, oh God, your word is able to save souls, God. And so, Lord, here we are thanking you, God, for this opportunity. Salamat, Panginoon. Thank you, Lord, that, God, even as we send these boxes, oh God, once another batch of boxes, that, Lord, it would touch the lives of many. That, Lord, what would be in their mind is God loves us. That they would know that there's a God who loves us and that we would be your vessels and instruments to be your channels of blessings, oh God. And so, Lord, even as we take this second offering, Lord, this for some of us, it can be a sacrificial giving. For we know that, God, when you said, when we give to the poor, we lend to the Lord. It's not about what would be given back to us, but more so for obedience. That's what your word has commanded us, not to neglect the poor among us, God. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, for the blessed opportunities you've given us. And, Lord, even as a church, we thank you that, Lord, you are continually strengthening each one of us and corporately as a church as we are engaged in a spiritual battle, oh God. We thank you for teaching us how to use the word of God as our sword, the sword of the Spirit, Lord. Thank you for your hedge of protection upon your people, oh God, even our health, our relationships, our finances, oh God, and even the call and the work that you have given to us, entrusted to us. And we thank you, Father God, that it is you by your Spirit that would bring about fruitfulness in the lives of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated as we take our second offering. And if you're giving a check, you could just do, make it payable to the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Sige, after lunch po, pagtutulungan natin, we were going to work together to fill up those door-to-door boxes, amen, for Ace Cargo to pick them up by, should be ready before 4 o'clock, amen. Thank you so much for your obedience to the Word of God. Amen, amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. There is joy in giving. There's joy in giving ourselves to the Lord, our resources, our time, and our talent. Amen. And of course, we're getting ready for our Easter celebration. Amen. Begin to think about people that you and I are to invite. Amen. Praise the Lord for our celebration as the Lord tarries in our Easter celebration. Amen. Praise God. Let's all rise up as we call on the praise and worship team. Amen. Final. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's all rise up and let's just thank God for this time. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, once more, thank you for what you have done in our midst, in our hearts, in our lives, oh God. Thank you for reminding us that, Lord, because we have you, that, Lord, our lives can have an impact through the work of your Spirit, oh God, and influence others, God. We thank you for reminding us from your word, oh God, that Jesus, your word never returns to you void nor empty, God, but it's able to accomplish the very purpose that you've sent it for us. We thank you that, Lord, you're teaching all of us, oh God, how to listen to your voice, that when you speak to us, you're giving us the grace to obey them, Lord God. Lord, bless your people today, Father God. May every heart be filled with the joy and peace that comes from your Spirit, oh God. Lord, to know that, God, we have been chosen and we are loved by you. And that, Lord, let that love be expressed to the people around us, oh God. Let it start in our homes, in our families, oh God. Lord, for us who work in our workplaces, oh God. For our young people, Lord God, who are still in schools, may their lives be an impact, Lord. A good impact, a positive impact and influence in the lives of their young friends, oh God. We thank you, Lord, oh God, that, Lord, these coming days, that as you open that door of opportunity for us to share the gospel to someone, may we fearlessly share it to them. Father God, obedience counts before your sight, and help us all to be obedient to you till the end, and this is our prayer. And we give you the highest praise that you alone deserve, oh God, and we thank you for your goodness and faithfulness in our lives, oh God. Help us to be comforters to those who need comforting, O God. And help us, O God, to be vessels of honor, Lord God, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor Monette. What a powerful message.
Praise the Lord.
Today
Glory to God. Amen.
For all of us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Remember, if you feel like your boat is sinking, your lifeguard walks on water.
That's right. Yes. Hallelujah.
Jesus is our Savior.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. And Hallelujah. He's good all the time.
All the time. Praise God.
All the time, He is good. God is good.
Praise Thank the Lord. You, Lord. Amen.